It means they've gotten sleep. We're going to do one more verse. It means they've fallen asleep. So just reach over and move their jaw like this. Just go. It's going to help them, okay? All right, verse number 4, Amazing Grace, ready?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Here we go.
He loves me.
Some people reaching for their neighbor. Got chomped at. Amen. All right, Brother Wright.
All right. Well, I appreciate you enduring here. Just tough it out. Again, I think old Eutychus, can you imagine having your name in the Bible forever as the guy who fell asleep in church and it cost your life? The kids told me, and I guess other preachers preach it, there's no new thing under the sun, including all of this, but preachers, if you ever preach that, I've been mulling that over my mind. Falling out of church is dangerous. When you fall out of church. Yeah. That guy fell out of that window, fell asleep when Paul preached. Now, he was preaching a long time. I said, even the Holy Spirit said, and as Paul was long preaching. And I think the Bible, if I remember right, talked about being a little hot. I'm a little hot here tonight. So just tough it out and endure it. Let's look at the next one here. We're actually really doing fantastic. Yes. Again, to do this, these seven took me, just these seven took a year. So again, I know we're not hitting a lot of it. You, if you want it, you don't want it, that's fine, but it's there for you. You can compare it. Look at these scriptures. Teaching, and I think of different people. I've got some names written to the top of mine that have been in my church that are teachers. Man, just like the servant, teachers. When you get somebody who is a teacher, just see, a lot of times people will get their gift figured out, and then they think that that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be a pastor, or you know, I'm supposed to be an elder or something. Well, you might just supposed to be serving along. You know, remember I said some apostles... That, you say, how's it read in the English? How's it read in the Greek? Just like your King James. It says, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It doesn't say some pastors and some teachers. Because you'll see as the Bible closes out, we're going to see Paul called himself over and over again. He knew what his job was, and his job was a teacher. And isn't that appropriate? They'd go out and see people saved. He didn't pastor. He never called himself a pastor. He called, that's why he said, I'm leaving, Titus. You take care of the things that are wanting, that are left behind. And what you need to do is those churches are ready, they're missing churches, ordain elders in every church. So he was in tandem with the pastors, but he was a teacher. And boy, if your ability is to teach the Bible, I had one man in my church, and I know as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, he still should have been in our church. He was a teacher. He helped me so much. But his wife was a servant, and she had no submission to her. And they had I had them take a Bible study, and they did great at it. She was very much a servant. She'd make pancakes with whipped cream and strawberries and peaches and bananas, and they'd have 30, 40 people over to their house. But pretty soon he started counseling those people. And pretty soon, a couple of those people heading to his Bible study had a baby out of wedlock because of the Bible study. And it was getting bad. I could tell. I could sense it was causing a problem in the church. I could sense there was some things. They started arguing at this meeting, and I was going to have to shut him down. Thank God he had enough spirituality. He came to me and said, Pastor, we've got enough problems here that I'd like to stop the Bible study. And I thought, yeah, but you got a baby on the way now with no father. Now what are you going to do? Again, your gift can be greatly used. Man, that guy was a great teacher of the Bible. But they ended up leaving, going to another state, and not really doing too much for the Lord right now. This is a teacher. That might be your gift. Look at it. Teaching is a spirit-given a capacity and desire to serve God by presenting the truth of the Word of God. You'll notice some people, they know their gift is giving, so... they want to give, and they feel like that's what God wants. And it is, but that doesn't disqualify you from other things. So a teacher can get focused on just the deep things of God, which is, I like studying depths of the Bible, but Jesus didn't try to wow people with depths and say, well, this is really going over my head, but this is baby food, what I'm giving you. It really is. I'm going to show you that even on teaching. Paul said to the Hebrews, he said, look, you guys ought to be teaching the Word of God. He said, but now you're become of those that need milk. You're not even able to handle meat, and you're needing milk. He's chewing them out because they were Hebrews. They should know the foundations of the Scriptures. And we'll see that maybe. I've got that passage written down here. Presenting the truth of the Word of God with simplicity and accuracy. Now that's if you're walking with the Lord. Treat teachers can get kind of haughty. That was his warning to them. You'll see under number one, letter B, the negative. His warning to them is be not wise in your own conceit.
Right.
And that's just the negative. See what I'm saying? There's a positive. And the positive is not slothful in business. Serve the Lord. Be fervent in spirit. Sometimes teachers can be boring. He said, man, put some zeal in it. I remember one preacher saying a lot of these evangelical TV preachers, all they do is they have a liberal message with an evangelistic delivery. Like Charles Swindoll. I don't even know if he's still around even. I don't know. But some of these guys, again, they're teachers. And that's what I always say. Those guys aren't preaching that are you here on the TV. Joel Osteen's not preaching.
That's right.
He says sin is not on the menu. What? You ever read your forebear Joel in the Bible? The Lord will roar out of Zion? And you're not even going to mention sin? They're teaching. Now, nothing wrong with teaching. Jesus was a preacher. He is also a teacher. Mm-hmm. And the one, again, preachers tells you what to do, and a teacher tells you what to know, but there's a danger of that because knowledge puffeth up. That's why he warns, be not wise in your own conceit. Now, I didn't finish that last phrase. In the middle of the first paragraph, teacheth is the word didasco. That's the only Greek word I remember taking Greek in Bible college. That's it, didasco. Didaskalos. To instruct, to teach, to learn. I memorized all those endings that you had, and I don't remember even what they are. I forgot it all, which is okay. I got a Bible. But didasco, I remember the didaskalos, to instruct in functional and function information, the motivation to present biblical truth clearly and precisely through systematic methods. That is why your church does need teachers, just like for Sunday school. Now listen, people are doing away with stuff that's just plain stupid and nonsense. How in the world are you going to ever grow? If you are just a Sunday morning, go to meeting Christian, yeah, you are never going to grow.
Right.
How in the world, when I have people there that are visitors, I got people that are lost, I got people that have saved 60 years, how am I going to teach them anything of any depth? I'm going to have to just basically say something and try to challenge the people's attention. It's in Sunday school that your kids learn about Noah's Ark.
That's right.
When are those kids going to learn about the lad feeding the 5,000? You know, that a kid can serve God. People say, well, Sunday school's not in the Bible. Neither is Ford pickups, but I'll bet you some of you drove them tonight. That doesn't mean nothing. Call it whatever you want. Bible time for all ages. That you need teachers. Yes, teaching is vital. That's when you bring your family and your kids on their different level have somebody, the Spirit-filled, hopefully, prayerfully.
Yes.
Man, I'm thankful. You know, I don't like having one family do junior church. Here's what I found. Preachers, am I right on this? When I have a lady that's trying to hide from God, she'll spend all of her time in the nursery. Am I talking to you, lady? I don't know. They hide in the nursery. When a teenager is running from God, they like to hide in the sound booth.
Yeah, come on.
I'm just telling you, I'm being honest. A lot of times people don't want somebody, hey, my kids are too, I'm the only one that can teach my kids. So then why does he put teachers in a church? Why does he put them in there? They're a gift from God for you, for your children, and for your family. I thank God that I'm not the only one I wanted my kids to look up to. I wanted to find other preachers, teachers, and men and women of God that could be their friend. Like Brother Dawson. You guys know Brother Dawson, right?
Yes.
Man, don't you miss him?
Yes.
Man, I wanted my kids to love that guy.
Yeah.
Brother Ross, they were the two best friends. I wanted my kids to admire those guys and love them. I didn't badmouth them. I didn't say, hey, those guys aren't that hot. Sometimes you guys can get jealous because your kids will look up to a youth pastor. Or they'll look up to somebody, their bus captain that loves them, and dads get jealous.
Come on.
Man, the Bible says a two-fold cord's great, but a three-fold cord cannot quickly be broken. If you get a dad and a mom and a preacher behind you with your kids that love your kids,
yeah,
they're going to maybe turn out.
Yeah.
Don't fight it. Man, a teacher's a wonderful thing. Look at letter B. The motivation for teaching. I wish we had time. You can look at them all. God's teaching of humanity. Boy, oh, I've got all these verses on it. You know the one, John 14:26. This is Jesus said, the Comforter, when He's come, He'll bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I've said unto you. He's a teacher.
Yes.
He's a teacher. That's the Holy Spirit of God. God teaches. I said He teaches on government. The Bible teaches about having a good government. Parenting. We'll see that in a minute. Fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition. He's telling you how to raise your kids. He teaches mothers. Proverbs 31. His teachers. Pastors are to teach. These things command and teach. Paul said, the things which you've heard and seen among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And you have four generations there. Paul said, I'm here. You take them, Timothy. You teach them to faithful men who shall teach other men also. You got four generations serving the Lord. You know one of the things I'm really excited about? I was just telling somebody yesterday about what's going on in the Navajo Reservation. You guys got revival going on. Probably don't have you. Don't even know it. Because sometimes you get so close to forest, you can't see the trees. When you have young people, don't you have young people in your church? Thank God we got young people.
Praise the Lord.
Now, we're not a big church. We'll never be a big church. I really doubt it. But I thank God we got teenagers, we got little kids, and they sit up on the front row, and they have, even if they can't read, they have an open Bible. And sometimes yeah. I have to rebuke our people and say, look, you think these kids aren't paying attention? Every one of these kids are looking at me. They're not sitting here writing, doodling, they've got their Bibles open. They can't even read. Amen. They're paying attention. They want somebody to teach them.
Amen.
That might be you. That might be your responsibility. Amen. Maybe God's looking for you to teach. He said, man, you can teach on being a father. He taught my hands to, fingers to fight. My heart to strong. David said, my fingers to fight. Military things. Creation. God said, ask the beasts. They shall teach thee. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know those verses.
Yeah.
Man, there's all kinds of fantastic things you can teach. I'm thinking of a preacher right now, and I think his ability is to teach. I'm not trying to be mean. Great guy. If I said his name, probably a lot of you'd know him. But his preaching's not that hot. But man, that guy can teach. That guy can teach. And man, he's young. And he's written all these. And I look at all what he's done and think, I wanted to write a book on that. I would have liked to have written a book on that. I was thinking, that guy's done it. Name the subject. He's a teacher. And God's going to use that when he's dead and gone. And that's God can use you. Jesus was a teacher. I just wrote this down. He taught everywhere. Now, the reason I wrote this down is you ought to teach everywhere you go.
It's good. Yes.
You ought to teach everywhere you go. I probably said this here. My favorite thing on the TV is the mute button. I love that thing. I love it. Love it. My kids, they're all grown now, and they're all serving the Lord, but they get tired of me because we'd be watching. I don't care if it's a Disney movie. Did you just hear that lie was? I'm always stopping in the middle. Did you hear that lie? Did you hear that lie? Here's what he said. That's not true. And again, I'm not bragging. My kids, they get tired of it. People kind of joke about it, but I don't care what the subject was. I'm going to try to teach my kids on it. You know what? I got an opinion on everything. Isn't that you? Jesus taught in the synagogues. He taught in the temple. There's number one under letter B. He taught in the synagogues. That's your first blank. He taught in the temple. He taught on the hillside. He taught in the wilderness. He taught on the sea. He taught in boats. He taught on mountaintops. He taught in the field. Why are your disciples eating grain from the field, not washing their hands? He taught in the valley. He taught as he walked on a road to Emmaus. He taught in the homes like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He taught on the cross while he's dying.
Yes.
Everybody ought to teach something. But there's some of you, that's your gift. But if you're really good at it, don't get haughty about it. You may need to stay under a preacher.
Yeah.
You may need to work some pastors and teachers. Because every pastor needs a bunch of teachers.
Yes.
He often quoted scripture clearly, presenting his message with illustrations. Then you talk about a good teacher, stories and parables, but never overwhelmed others with divine knowledge. Just think of how he could have wowed them. What could the eternal God have said to blow their mind? And he'd say, you know, there was a man who had two sons. And one said, my son said, I'll obey you and didn't. And one said, I won't obey you and did. Now, which obeyed his dad? He just kept it right on their level. And he kept it interesting. He always kept it. I always like when they leave and say, was he talking about us? That's what I like. You think he was talking about us? Nah. Talking about you, but not me. Letter D. Oftentimes after preaching to the multitudes, his disciples would come to him privately for further explanation or questions, which he patiently clarified. That's a good teacher. And I am telling you, if you want to really learn your Bible, there's only one way to do it. You have to ask questions. Most of you know Nick Dunn.
Yeah.
That guy's got a brain this big.
Yeah.
But you know what he did as a kid? He'd quiz me on everything. I mean, we're talking about giants and the sons of God in Genesis 6 and Og's grave. And we'd go to camp and he'd sit right behind me. I'm telling you, I got pictures of him. He laughs. He loved me as a kid so much. He loved me. He didn't know. He said, I didn't know what to do to show you I loved you. He made a batch of cookies. I remember when he made a batch of cookies for his pastor. Oh, I had to ream him out one time. He was getting a bad attitude. He sat there. He didn't like it. But later on, he grew up. He said, man, I sure thank you for doing that. But he'd sit behind me and he just asked me Bible questions, which tells me he was reading his Bible. I can tell if you're reading your Bible.
That's right.
If you have questions.
That's right. Amen.
If you don't have questions, you're not reading your Bible.
Yeah.
You're not reading your Bible. See, I don't think you should say that. I think I should.
Yes, sir.
You're not reading your Bible.
Right.
When Jesus preached, they had questions.
Yeah.
And they'd come to him and say, what did you mean there? I've got tons of questions. I don't have answers. I got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I like studying that and say, what did God mean by that? Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Whoa. What could the eternal, infinite, all-powerful, almighty God whose hand spans the universe, what kind of joys does he have waiting for us actually? Is it worth it to live for him? Paul said, yeah, I'm chucking it all. He said, everything as far as I'm concerned is dung. I was thinking the other day, God, if I could just, how about, I'm not there yet, I'm not that spiritual as you are. I was thinking, if I could just decide I'm going to please God, that's all I'm going to consume with. It lasted about a day. I started laughing like that. And I think God has a situation. I said, sorry, God. I'll try again. Paul, not Paul. These guys, like Daniel, they were teachers. And they said, "What we want to know, Paul said that I may what? Know him. That's a teacher. And that guy went to the third heaven. And he said, you know what I want more than anything? I'd sure like to know who God I'm looking at. How about you? How far are you from that? A lot of times we think we're like those guys in the Bible. I think, I'm not even the dirt under my fingernail compared to those guys. Look at your handout. It says there in letter E, he was an expert in using appropriating the exact scriptural application and abundantly clear in driving home his conclusion for his listeners. Wouldn't you be great if you knew the exact chapter and verse? Many times, I'll be honest with you, there's times I get frustrated with God. And I'll think, God, why did you say that? I don't get that. I'm trying to go through Proverbs and I'm going to try to get a modern, a catchy phrase for every proverb, and it's going to take me a whole lifetime if God lets me live. And there's times I think, God, I don't know what you mean by that. What does that verse even mean? And there's times we kind of get frustrated with God. And Jesus had the ability. And then later on, God will show me another verse. I'll think, there's the answer right there.
Yeah.
I think, how many times in my life, and I get frustrated, confused, and there's a certain verse hanging in there.
Yeah.
And if I just read my, Jesus did. The devil say, hey, try this on. He said, hey, it's written. Hey, try this on. Hey, it's written. And try this on. It's written. He could shut him down just like that. Don't you think we ought to be able to do that?
Absolutely.
Take the sword of the Spirit, which is, you don't throw holy water at the devil. Get your prayer beads and burn him with the cross, shoot him with a silver bullet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You got to know the Bible if you're going to teach it. These guys, you're going to see that taught the Bible. They knew it all to practice this gift. Go ye therefore, and there in verse 1, letter 3, number 3, all to practice this gift. Matthew 28, 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's your job of a church. You're to see people saved. I like to say, win them, wet them, and weed them. Win them to the Lord, wet them in baptism, and wean them in the Bible. And part of it is go into all the world, preach the gospel, but you're to teach all nations. That's that word didasko, teach. 2 Timothy, of course, Paul talked about teaching He chewed the Hebrews out. What time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of God, and become such as need of milk. He said, man, he's chewing them out. He said, why are you guys, you're thinking around in milky stuff. Why don't you get into some meat where you can teach people? I want you to look real quick at Deuteronomy 6. How bad and how much do we teach? How do we teach? Deuteronomy 6, turn there, you know it. Extremely famous. Jews call this a Shema. As soon as a little boy starts to talking, they train him this verse right here. Jews have a little mezuzah, a little container. They put a couple verses in it, but this is the main one, Deuteronomy 6. And they put it on every door. Orthodox Jew, they'll put it on every door in their house except the bathroom. When every morning they get up, Orthodox Jew prays these words. Every night he goes to sleep, he prays these words. Every holiday, he prays these words. Every Sabbath day, he prays these words. In fact, what they want to do is when they die, they want to pray these words. Jesus said these words. But a lot of times we just read part of them. Jews say, verse number 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Jews will say that against a Christian, saying there's just one God. The thing is God is Elohim, and the I am on the end means plural. You got Rephaim and the Emims. The E-M on the end of your English words means plural. When you read Elohim means plural. Like the man and the woman, the two become one. That's plural. That's that word one right there. Same word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Elohim, that's a plural Hebrew, is one Lord. A unity of two at least. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Remember, the greatest thing you could do. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. But that's not the end. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates. And that's not talking about homeschooling. I see some of you, I don't believe in Christian school, because this is talking about living Christianity.
Yes.
Look at it. He said that get them in your heart, teach them. How do you teach them? You teach them diligently. You know what that word diligent means? Sharp, piercing, prodding, what that means. You and I, all of us are to teach. But some of you, if that's your job and you're not doing it, you're hurting not only yourself, you're hurting the church. I'll say it again. That word diligent means sharp, pierce, point, to sharpen. You know what? I like looking at the ancient Hebrew pictographs, because the Anasazi, all the ancient Indians around this area, they do pictographs, and they're all around the world. So I got to thinking, man, I'm going to start studying in Proverbs what a lot of the Hebrew is the first language ever, or the first written words. Some believe, and I actually do believe Joseph probably is the guy who designed it. And most languages come from the Hebrew. And they start out with pictures. You know what the picture of this is? Two teeth to cut, and the seed of a man. That's what that word diligently is. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. Now just look at all that. Thou sittest. I try to educate myself a little bit better as I get a little older, hopefully. I like those endings. I heard one preacher say, it's the two edges of the sword that do the cutting. The beginning of it, sometimes in the end of it. See, that says, sittest and walkest and liest and risest there in verse number 7. That's continued action. EST means continued action. ETH means continued action. You know the verse Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth. It's talking about continue. You're not going to get blessed unless you continue it, is what it's meaning. And that's what that's saying there. It's meaning continued. And it's a little different. I have to look at it. E-S-T is second person singular, meaning you as an individual need to do this. And you need to do it continually. So all of us need to do these gifts. But I'll say it again. You and I ought to do it when we talk. We need to talk of them when you're in the house. What do you talk about? You ought to be teaching the Bible in your house. You say, well, we have devotions. I mean, all the time. Teach them when you bow your head to pray. Sometimes when you're talking about things you shouldn't talk about, say, hey, we're not talking like that. What are you doing? You're teaching the Bible. When thou walkest by the way, When you go for a walk or you go to the grocery store, you go to get gas. When you lie down at bed, when you rise up in the morning, bind them for a sign upon thy hand and a frontlet between. That's where the Jews get the phylacteries. I got a set of their children's phylacteries, because the real ones are like, could be maybe $3,000. And they don't even know what they're doing, but a lot of it has to do with the Trinity. But they think that that's what that verse means. And so they'll wrap their arms, and then they'll get a big black box here, has scripture in it, and they bind it on the forehead. He's doing a lot more than just getting it on your head and then writing it, putting a verse in every room in your house. He said where it needs to be is in verse number 6, get it in your heart. Don't just put it on, as wear it as a badge. If you're going to teach, especially in the church, you ought to be living it.
Amen.
You ought to be living what you're teaching. I like the preacher said one time, pastors don't preach untraffic truth. There's things I'm not good at. There's things I maybe still struggle with that I'm not going to preach on. If you're not good at fasting or praying or something like that, man, maybe ought to not preach on it, as you're the expert. He said, you and I ought to live it, is what he's talking about. That's what the Shema is. And that's what you and I are all supposed to do. Turn the page over there and look at the next one. Men and women of biblical examples. Moses, he was afraid he couldn't teach. Now again, I like this because Moses was a good servant. But what he did, and he knew what his gift was teaching. And you can look at those verses. God was mad at him. He said, I will be with thee and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he still said, I can't do it. And Aaron, he said the words. He said, I will teach you what ye shall say. And what you shall do. He said, look, don't worry about it. I'll tell you what to teach. And over again, you can look at it. There I have letter C. The Lord said he was giving the commandments to Moses so that thou mayest teach them. Real quick, look at Deuteronomy 4. You're hopefully there. Deuteronomy 6, look back. Look how many times Moses said that. I look at that and I say, man, if the Bible really does teach that, maybe there's something to all this. If Moses really said he was a teacher, maybe there really is a gift of teaching. Look at Deuteronomy 4. Moses said, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them that ye may live. That's the first one. Look at verse number 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes. Verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from all thy heart, all that is thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy son's sons. Verse 14, he says, the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you. Over and over again, Moses, yeah, he was a great administrator and all these other things, but he knew what his job was. His job was to teach the scriptures to the children of Israel, the statutes. There really is a gift of teaching. And some of you really could do that if you would just surrender to the Lord, let the Lord fill you, and you could be a real help and a blessing. I just have Bezalel, then I have Ezra. Ezra was a teacher. You look at those verses. Elihu, I believe, is a picture of Christ in Job. He's the only one God didn't chew out. He showed up kind of late. He's younger than the other ones, but he had the answers. I believe he's a picture of Christ, and he taught. Man, you talk about a teacher. Daniel was a teacher.
Yes.
Daniel taught. Daniel taught stuff that we still struggle with today. About 2 years ago, I did something I shouldn't have probably done. I started to teach in detail the book of Daniel on Sunday morning. Don't ever do that. You know how it is, preachers. You get going on a study. It's kind of hard to quit. Man, I tell you, I plowed through it because I wanted to study it. But man, I'm telling you, he's talking about Cleopatra and Mark Anthony. I'm not kidding you. Daniel, he saw it all. Alexander, he talks about that to the place when Alexander the Great invaded Israel. The Jews met him. He was coming. He was going into Jerusalem, and they met him. The high priest met him, and they pulled out Daniel and said, there you are. And Alexander's men said, this is a sign. Go ahead and take it. And he said, no, this is scary. This is of God. And so he went on down to Egypt. I'm just saying, Daniel studied the Bible, and he taught it. Look real quick at Daniel. I'll show you how much he taught it. You say, well, I'm awful busy. Are you running the world? Daniel was running the world.
That's good.
I'll bet you he's more busy than you and I. Yeah. And you know what he put first over ruling the world? Studying the Bible and teaching it to others. That's what the book of Daniel's about. The first 6 chapters are about his life. And chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 was all his visions and things. That guy loved the Bible so much and studying it, God sent Gabriel and Michael to give him an answer to his prayer. That's pretty big stuff. You got a little guy that was made a eunuch when he was a kid. He don't have a wife. He don't have friends. I don't think his buddy stuck with him all that long. It's always Daniel's purpose in his heart. Daniel did this. Daniel prayed. I think he influenced Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But it was Daniel that God said at the end. He said, "You Daniel, you've done great. Keep on doing it." But Daniel loved the Word of God. Look how much he loved it. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse number 2. In the first year of the reign of Dai, Daniel understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. He figured it out. He's reading Leviticus and Chronicles and he figured it out. I'm telling you, what he saw, it's unbelievable what he saw. He said, "Man, guys, we only got about 3-4 years to go." He studied his Bible. He said he understood by the God's word and he had the book of Jeremiah. That means he had a Bible. That's why I say, I'm giving you this information. You can burn that if you want. Or you can do like the Bereans and search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Amen. What's that mean? That means they had a Bible. Amen. That means they were looking at their Bible. They had a Bible. They searched the scriptures. They had a copy of the Bible and they studied the Bible. Do you study your Bible? Or you just, when Sunday school is over and the preacher's done on Sunday night, does he just gather dust? There's an old song down south, dust on the Bible. That's how they sing it. Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word, the words of all the prophets and the sayings of our Lord. You got dust on your Bible? Daniel said, "I understood." Look back at the right few verses. Look at verse number 27 of the previous chapter. He's praying to God. Gabriel shows up. Verse 27. "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days." Look at this. "Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business." You know what he put first? Studying the Word of God. He got so sick he couldn't even get up. He said, "Then later on, I did the king's business." We'll turn over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse number 1. "In the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel." This guy was a loner, and yet he was moving heaven and earth. There were battles going on in the heavenlies over this guy, trying to get prayers to this one guy. Does God play favorites like that? Or does maybe God, is God waiting for you to get serious about learning His word?
Yeah, amen.
He sent Gabriel, and Gabriel said, "I struggled," and finally, God had to send Micah, I had to bust through, and we got to go back and fight the king of Persia, those demons again. They're coming down to answer a eunuch's prayer that's going to live and die alone as a 90-year-old man. That loved Jerusalem more than life itself and never got to go back. Here's what he did. It says, "A thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, and the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing that had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In the 24th day of the first month, as set by the river of Hedekel, I lifted up my eyes, and a guy shows up. And that guy is Gabriel, and he says, 'I'm come to give you an answer to that Bible question.'" Daniel was a teacher. Look at your handout. I'm hustling through here. New Testament examples. The one I think is really neat is Paul. This is what, when I just started studying this out this last time, and just in detail, just everything I could think of, and even the manifestation gifts. Again, Paul never, I got my little guy up here. Hopefully you see, can make that out. Paul never called himself, Paul did. Sometimes he taught. So he was a good organizer. He gave. He showed mercy. But Paul called himself a teacher. I thought, wow. He did call himself an apostle. And like I said before, for those guys to not replace themselves, they could have said, "Look, you guys are John, you elder, you preachers, you weren't around Jesus." They could have said, Jesus chose us. He chose us 12, and we walk with Jesus 3. I am not going to submit to some pastor." You know what Paul did? He submitted to his pastor. You can see that in Acts 15. Remember they're having a fight? They're having a fight about salvation, and salvation is worth fighting over?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And Paul and Barnabas went back to see what the apostles, and you still had elders there, but you check what happens in that chapter. Paul could have said, "Well, what do I got to go back for? These are my churches." Apostles? The Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word of God to save the apostles. You guys are hanging here in Jerusalem. I'm the one out here just killing myself, building all these churches, getting beat. And I started 50 churches. You guys are taking it. He didn't do that. He went back to the apostles because they're still alive. and the elders and said, what do you guys think? And then it says this. It says that Peter got up, he gave his peace. But that wasn't what they decided to do. Barnabas said his peace. Paul said his peace. And it says, and James stood up and he said, brethren, hearken to me. And he said what he thought about it. And he said, therefore, my sentence is. And if you'll check, and I think I've got him later on here in one of these gifts here. It's probably the half-brother of Jesus, because the Bible says that he saw none other save James, none other apostle save James, the Lord's brother. There's a lot of verses that talk about James being Jesus' brother, being an apostle. I believe that James, that Paul the apostle, submitted to his pastor. He was a teacher. And just like a servant, you need to submit. Look at the verse there. It says, number one, Paul was never referred to as a prophet or even elder, but often a teacher. He wrote half the New Testament, spent 3 years researching and learning prior to commencing his mission as an apostle. He started his ministry. He said, man, I just cut my teeth on teaching. I sat at the feet and was taught. That's what Galatians 1 says, at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul is an example of the motive gift of teaching the Bible. He began his journey by being taught. That's what he said. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, being taught. Then he began his own ministry teaching. Real quick, look at Acts 11. I'll hustle through these as fast as I can here. Acts 11. You turn fast, I'll talk fast. Acts 11. Look at it. Acts 11, 26. Kind of a neat, because later on, Barnabas comes up. He's an exhorter. Man, he's an exhorter. We need exhorters in the church. Acts 11, 26. And when he had found him, what do you mean? Verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul when he had found him. You see, Paul got discouraged. He got defeated. He quit and went home. Right. If you look at what happened, he got saved. He preached to Damascus. He went to Jerusalem. They were scared of him. I would be scared of him. This guy was a serial killer. I was talking to somebody the other day. Oh, yeah, somebody called me on the church situation. He said, well, if I come, I just want you to know, there used to be this thing. And I said, well, you know, they had that in the early church. Can you imagine seeing Paul walk in and saying, you killed my mom. You murdered my brother. You tortured my little brother to death. You murderer. He's a fake. He's a spy. And Barnabas said, guys, he's the real deal. He's been preaching. God's filled him. He's seen the Lord. It's a qualification for being an apostle. He went to seek Saul. He had to find him. He didn't start a church. He wasn't up there. Nobody. They weren't talking about Paul. He's not preaching. All the Christians. I think he's hiding out. And he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass the whole year. They assembled themselves in the church and taught much people. And disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Paul got into teaching. Him and Bart, that's where the word Christian comes from. Christian doesn't mean you're saved. It means you're like Christ, a Christian. You look just like the lost people. Would lost people say you're a Christian? Do lost people know you're a Christian? This is lost people that said, those people are just like that guy Christ. They're Christians. Man, they're just like that Christ guy. Let's just call them Christians. Paul had a part in that. Look at chapter 13. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, there's called Niger, Lucius and Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work. They were teachers. Again, Paul's not doing his missions yet, but he's on the move. I said, I remember my dad had an old beat up pickup truck. We turned it into I see these old Chevys, and I tell my wife, man, I grew up in a truck like that. Those old rounded ones, I don't remember what year it was. Turned it into a dune buggy eventually. But what we had the greatest fun was getting in the steering wheel, because it was about that big. And I said, we'd rock it back and forth. Man, we'd rock, sit in there, and it didn't even cost a quarter. And, you know, it wasn't a video game. And we'd just sit there and twist back and forth till we were tired. Man, we had lots of movement, but we didn't go anywhere. Because we're not moving. And I'm just saying, you may not know what your gift is, probably because you're not moving. As they ministered the Lord, God said, let me direct Paul into some more teaching. And that's what you see in the next statements there. Look at your handout, letter C. Paul said his main ministry was teaching. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he said, I'm an apostle and a preacher and a teacher. He kept saying, the one thing he kept repeating over and over again, he said, I'm sending you Timothy. He'll remind you of the things that I have taught. To the Corinthians, it says he continued there a year and a half teaching the Word of God. Over and over again to Timothy and Titus, he'd say, teach these things. He emphasized teaching. Now, real quick, think about it. G, Paul emphasized comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what a teacher does. He looks at the Bible and compares them, one with the other. Letter H, Paul studied the scriptures. Did he not? Man, that guy studied the Bible.
Yeah.
He quoted, he studied the Bible. He's a teacher. He referred back to the scriptures in Romans 4 times, Galatians 3 times, Timothy 1 time, 2 Timothy 1 time, 9 times. He discussed that as it is written all those times, 33 times. He'd say, hey, the Bible said, that solves a lot, that solves a lot of problems. The second church I ever pastored in, I was 21 years old. No, I've been, the first church I took was 21, which is probably not real smart, but 21. And then I took another church, 24, and I had 5 deacons and 5 trustees, and they were all 80 years old. And I knew right off the bat, man, they ain't gonna listen to a thing I gotta say. So you know what I decided to do? Figure out what the Bible said. They'd say, what gives you the right to do that? I think, well, let's see what the Bible says about that. You can't argue the Bible. That makes people real mad when Amen. They don't want to obey.
Amen.
They could not resist the wisdom of Stephen. So what they did, they beat him to death.
Whoa.
Man, I'm telling you, if you learned your Bible, the old devil, he shakes.
Yeah.
It's just something about the beauty of the Bible, but the power of it, something. Benjamin Franklin, whenever he wanted to win an argument, that dirty old rat, he'd word his argument like King James. He said he'd always win the argument because everybody thought he was quoting the Bible. Oh, that solves that. He tested knowledge by the Word of God. Now, I want to show you something real quick here. He tested knowledge by the Word of God. He tied Old and New Testament scriptures together. He researched in Arabia. He said, I was taught by the Lord for 3 years. Man, I'd like to have been a mouse in the corner there. He did research to be able to write much of the Bible. He persisted systematic subjects of giving, or like the book of Romans. Man, a doctrinal treatise. I mean, we study his letters. They're letters. Nobody studies my letters. I keep my love letters. My wife maybe gave me when we were dating, but nobody studies my letters. But they did Paul's. He lettered in. He had a burden to present the biblical truth and rebuke baby Christians for not studying people. Now, once you see this, Paul read other books. Paul read other books. Look real quick at Acts 17. Acts 17, a lot of times people don't realize this. I like the saying, some people are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly use. And sometimes people get so, they think I'm so spiritual, I just sing about Jesus, talk, nothing else. Paul read other books. He quoted other books. He even said he did. Talking to the Athenians, look what he said there in Acts 17. He's talking to the Athenians. And he says, even in verse number 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of one of your own prophets, as poets have said. What? He's quoting us. He was a well-read man. He read other books. In fact, when he said in verse number 17 that they should seek after the Lord happily, that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far. He's quoting a guy named Amenides. That's a quote from one of the writings of Amenides. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's a quote from the guy by the name of Epimenides. For we are also his offspring. He's quoting a guy by the name of Arctus, who wrote a book back then called The Divine Signs. It was talking about seeing God in the stars. That's quite a study. I've done that. He even said, to remember with Titus, he said, even one of their own, a prophet of their own, said, the evil Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. He's quoting, he said, as one of their prophets. He studied the Bible, yes. But here's what I think. Here's what your preaching is and teaching. It's not just me quoting a verse. It's me trying to get you to apply it. That's your job. Your job is, the preacher says, this is what you need to do, and then you need to say, now how can I put that into use tomorrow? How can I teach tomorrow? How can I teach my kids? I don't even have devotions. Maybe we ought to start with devotions. Maybe we ought to pray over our food. Maybe I ought to try to take my kids, and when we go out for a walk, maybe I ought to talk about trees. Solomon spake of trees. I spake of Bible. Jesus said, behold the flowers, behold the lilies of the field, behold the fowl of the mountain. He's talking about learning and teaching. Paul did do that. Real quick, look at have Mary. Martha wasn't a very good teacher. Mary, her testimony influenced people to get saved. Luke was a natural teacher. Luke's fascinating. Luke's writing, and again, a lot of you're not interested in this, but I am. Luke's book is totally unique. He's a Greek. I like Luke. I named my youngest son Luke. I like Luke. I like the book of Luke. He's different in how he even writes it. And guys that study it out, which I wouldn't do, it seems boring to me. say he wrote in a Hellenistic fashion. He's a Greek. The Bible said he was a Greek. So he writes, some people believe he was an artist, but he definitely was a historian. You remember the Bible says in this, it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. He does that through the whole book. So what do we need to know that for? Because he's tying his book in showing its real history. It is important. I'm glad Luke did that. He definitely was a doctor. And you know what doctors do and artists do? They pay attention to details. And that's what I'm saying. That's why Luke was a teacher. He paid attention to details. He paid attention. He said, well, what I'm writing you is eyewitness testimony. He collaborated. He authenticated it. I have down here in Acts 27, I love preaching that. He has 17 nautical terms about ancient seamanship. People today still study Acts 17, figuring out ancient ships, how they sailed the seas there in that time of Christ. He was a doctor. Doctors pay attention to details. I'm just saying, you say, well, how's that help? Well, it helps me because when I start thinking about detailed stories about the thief on the cross, I think, well, Luke probably wrote that one. And I read how a baby leaped in the womb. Well, a doctor wrote that one. And the guy who said that Mary was great with child, a doctor wrote that one. Luke writes about things that nobody else wrote. He was a teacher. He wrote about women. Most guys didn't. Samaritans, tax collectors, rebellious family members, Gentiles, lepers, criminals, the poor woman, the immoral woman. Negative example, Solomon. He taught, but it's kind of one of those things, do what I say, don't do what I do. Kind of teaches what not to do. Apollos, man, could you turn real quick? I'm wrapping it up, promise you. Turn over to let's see, which one do I want? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 16, and I'll tell you the other verses. I think Apollos was a teacher, and I think Paul was a teacher, and they clashed. If you remember, Apollos shows up in Acts 18. Paul's at Ephesus, and Aquila and Priscilla, we'll see tomorrow, were a great example of a couple who gave their business to the Lord. Man, when I just taught on them in the book of Acts not too long ago, I thought, man, I wish our people who own businesses would just think and study Aquila and Priscilla. And they saw this young preacher by the name of Apollos, who was mighty in word and deed, but he was off on, he didn't really have a lot of the things that Jesus had taught, probably missed out, he's kind of a young guy. And so they took him to side and expounded to him the word of the God more clearly, the Bible says. And so he was able to mightily convince the Jews, and he said that publicly, that Jesus was the Christ. And then the next thing you see is Apollos goes to Corinth. And then you remember when Paul was writing about the Corinthians, and he would say, some say I'm a Peter, and some Apollos, and some Jesus. But if you'll notice, and I have the verses there, the one he kept bringing up was him and Paul. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God, he keeps mentioning Paul himself and Apollos. I think Apollos followed Paul to Corinth and caused some problems. He was a teacher, but he wouldn't submit. He was young. He didn't have his doctrines down real good. You say, well, how do you know that? Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Now remember, he's rebuking this whole church. And he's saying, look, I'm going to come back. I'm going to straighten things out. You better straighten them out before I come back. I'm going to come back. Do you want me to come back with a rod or not? And he tried to get Apollos to come back and help straighten out. And Apollos said, there ain't no way on God's earth I'm going to. Look what he says. 1 Corinthians 16, 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly, that means over and over again, desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he has shall be king. That word you look up, not at all. Two words are there. It means absolutely not. Not a chance. Not in any way. Every way. No. Paul said, I begged him to come back, try to help you guys. And he said, there's no way on God's earth I'm going back there. I think they were both teachers. Teachers can be a tremendous help like Paul. Or you can cause a lot of problems like Apollos in teaching things maybe you ought not to teach. Church of Corinth was a mess. I have Jezebel on the back. I'm going to end it. All the things she did, say, well, what's that bad? Her teachings resulted in people's murder.
Yeah.
She wrecked her life. She wrecked her husband's life. She wrecked her grandkids' life. She wrecked her son-in-law's life. And you go right down the line, and I've got them. She wrecked Athaliah, her daughter's life. She wrecked her grandkids' life. They were murdered. They chopped their heads off. And you know what God said in Revelation? That lady's teaching still around. He said, Jezebel's still teaching. False teaching still wrecking churches. That's why you need to sit in a good church and submit yourself. I don't care what your gift is. Submit yourself to a pastor that loves the Bible. You know what I found? I listened to a sermon. Brother Joel, you said you listened to a sermon, and that's what I need preaching to, and so I listened. And you know what I found? You can listen to thousands of sermons. And now I listened to a guy that's Baptist, but maybe he's not quoting the King James. I could sit there listening to him 30 minutes. I always listen to him on high speed. So if it's a 40-minute message, I can maybe get it in 20 minutes. You know what I found? In a 40-minute message, I might get one good thought and I think I just wasted my time. But if I get a guy that I know believes the Bible, sometimes I'll listen to that message and I'll think, man, there's 10 fantastic things I need to study out in my mind. And if that's true for a preacher, I'll bet it's true for you. I pray that you figure out what your gift is. Probably won't happen overnight. You may go away from here saying, I'm more confused than ever. My goal is to get you to figure out what the gifts are, what they even are, what they kind of do. And what you need to do is familiarize, kind of think, well, what does an administrator do? Pretty soon you'll start being able to put a face with those. And hopefully you'll put your own. I know what my gift is. And man, I'll tell you, I can rest in it. I don't have to worry about that. I'm not like somebody else. There's guys in here, you can do stuff I could never do. I don't worry about it. There's some things, I tell our men, I say, look, I'm not going to tell you how to invest your money. I'm not going to tell you what kind of house to buy or when to buy. I don't know. But I have some men that I could ask. I'm glad we have men in our church that I can go to and say, hey, we need this organized. Or we need to figure this out. How do we do this? We need to get this done. And man, I tell you, God's been merciful to me. I think God's given me some of these guys because he knows I'm an idiot on some things. I can't do some of them. And so he's graciously given me some other men that I can go to and say, hey, what do you think we should do on that? Thank God that may be your position, your job. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we pray you'd help us. We pray and plead, Lord, every one of us. I pray everybody here tonight saved. Without being saved, that doesn't even start. But Lord, I pray after that we'd realize that you said when Christ, he ascended to heaven. Yes, he did. But what is it? He descended first, and then before he ascended to heaven, he gave gifts unto men. And so, Lord, thank you for these gifts. Lord, I'm glad that I can see it in our church, and we're not a perfect church, and we have problems and issues like every church. But Lord, I'm glad that even as a pastor, as a shepherd, I can look and see the sheep. I can see their personalities. Sometimes I can head the problems off. I can see what's coming. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of the Spirit's gifts. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you my heart, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do. My heart is I want to get a fourth one in, so we make sure we get all seven of these, because we've only got 3 hours tomorrow. But here's what we're going to do. Because it might just be me and Brother Wrights, and I don't know if my wife will stay with me for that next hour. Amen? She might take the boys home. I want to lead on softly. I know we've got a lot of kiddos next door. I know some of you draw